tonight, Brother Trezvan O'Neal. Brother O'Neal, the blueprint. What is that blueprint for salvation? Tell us about it.
Amen. I want to thank Brother Brooks for opening us up, and I just want to thank all of those that are ministering to this endeavor, as it is a great opportunity for those that don't know Christ to come to an understanding of who Christ can be in their individual lives. This is truly a great evangelistic effort, and the purpose is to deliver sound doctrine. It's following God's word at its truth, as it is. This is a month that is recognized as Black History Month, but this month also has another day in the middle, February 14th. And there's a lot of breaks on February 14th, Valentine's Day, because we break our necks, we break our pockets, and we break the bank trying to show someone how much we love them. A genuine love loves all the time, but we love our holidays. And I'm thankful that God does not love like we do. He loves us not just all the time, but throughout all times, and he proved that love by sending his son Jesus. It doesn't take a whole lot of study to figure out that the world is in a religious mess. It really doesn't. All you need to do is drive down the road, turn on the TV or the internet, or get around the right person, go to a barbershop, get around the right people, and we could quickly find out that the religious world can be confusing. There are so many teachings and so many teachers that are teaching so many different things. When we are seeking the truth, we must be careful where and how we get our information. The wrong information at times can lead to a person's soul being hopelessly lost, at the very least frustrated and confused. Who is right? How do I know what is being told to me is correct? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." James chapter 3 and verse number 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Envying is jealousy, greed, and spite. Strife is discord, or meaning disagreement. Most times, this is what causes confusion. And the only way we can come to a common understanding is to make sure we are understanding God's word within context. Let's leave out all the pretext or bringing in what we think. This is what takes out all the confusion. We must be careful, because most men are not giving you what they believe, but what they wish to believe. There's but one way to distinguish between truth and a wish. We can find that in John 17 and 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The only way we can be made whole, purified, and marked as holy is to accept the truth of God's word. The realization that we first must come to is realizing that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that in Romans 3:23. There are some of us that don't think we do any wrong at all, but the Bible clearly states that we have all sinned. The question that we must answer once we realize that we have sin is, how do I find salvation? We must understand that God gave us a blueprint. And we're going to look at that blueprint tonight in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. As I understand, the speaker on last night used this same text as well. And if I'm preaching the same thing that he spoke on last night, maybe we needed it. Maybe we needed to hear it again. But if we follow the blueprint for the church that was established in the Bible, then we can be sanctified by the truth. That's our title for this evening, The Blueprint for Salvation. We'll be looking at Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18, and we'll be done with the lesson after that. But what I want to explain, we're in the book of Matthew, and this is when Jesus was on his way to the cross. The church hasn't been established yet, so we didn't have any Christians at this point. So I'm speaking to believers on tonight. We have a whole lot of Christians that don't believe, just wearing the name. See, believers understand that there is but one foundation that can stand throughout eternity, and it can only be found in the establishment of Christ. The blueprint for salvation per these scriptures establishes the Creator. The blueprint for salvation establishes the foundation, and it also establishes the plan. I want us to know on tonight, if we don't take anything else home on this evening, is that believers know who built the church. Looking at our text in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, as we look at the blueprint for salvation, we're going to see that it establishes the Creator. The Bible reads, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?'" That was a question that Jesus was asking his disciples. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? My father is a draftsman. He drew or did a lot of add-ons for a lot of the houses in the area that I was raised in down in Florida. But before he would draw, the first thing he had to do was to go to the property and figure out the dimensions. So he would grab his tools, throw them in his truck, and he would go to this property and take all the right measurements. And he measured based on the need. If he would have taken the wrong measurements, then the outcome would have been wrong. Let us look at these verses. Jesus is trying to get Peter to get the right measurements. First, he is asking, "Who do men say I am?" You see, man can say all he wants, but if it does not measure up to that which is in the Word, then it is not right. It must measure up to Jesus Christ. In verse number 14, "And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.'" Look at what the disciples say that men say. "Some say thou art John the Baptist." At this point, John was dead. John said, "He that cometh," in Matthew 3:11, "he that cometh is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear." So we see here that man had the wrong measurement. Although John was great in the coming of Jesus, it was still the wrong measurement. If we are measuring up to John, then we have the wrong measurement. The scripture goes on to say, "Some said Elias." I want us to do something real quick for those that have your Bibles there in front of you. Flip a chapter ahead over to Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, we see in verse number 1, this is called the mountaintop experience or the transfiguration. Verse number 1 says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as light." Look at verse number 3. "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them." Keep in mind, these are two men that had passed many years before. Verse number 4 says, "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus." See, Peter started feeling real good right here. "It is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." I want you to know that tabernacles are places of worship. And he was going to try to build, or wanted to build, 3 tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elias, and one for Jesus. But while he was talking, in verse number 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Usually we stop right there to get the point across that we need to listen to Jesus. But I want you to see here as we move ahead in verse number 6, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. One thing we can learn from Peter is that at times he can be a bit flaky. We were just seeing in Matthew chapter 16 how he was pointing to Jesus, and now he's trying to point to two other men while he's on the mountain. He was also, we see here in verse number 6, that the disciples fell on their face. You see, when we take the wrong measurements, we end up taking a face dive. If we get it right, then we can look up to that which is for us. But I want you to know that Elias is the wrong measurement. And then it went on and talked about Jeremiah, who was a great prophet. Jesus is much more than a prophet. So once again, the wrong measurement. Going back over to our lesson text, Matthew chapter 16, verse number 15, he saith unto them, for whom say ye that I am? Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, we must all answer for ourselves. Church, visitors, members, we must have the right measurement. If we are off by a little, then the spiritual building won't be right. And man can only go so far. The only way we will ever find salvation is accept Jesus, the Son of God. A quick illustration. There was a wealthy man who lost his son while his son was very young. Soon after, the father died due to a broken heart. After he died, in his will, he stated to sell all his very expensive items, but instructed that a painting of his son be sold first. No one knew his son or had any interest in him, but he did have one servant that loved him and the son dearly. And he bought the painting for 59 cents, didn't pay much for it at all. Those that were selling the items that were running the auction immediately stopped the auction and said that the will said, whoever bought the painting of the son received the entire estate. What I'm trying to get you to see is that God gave us his son and it didn't cost us a thing. As servants, we must accept Jesus as the Son of God. If we have the right measurements, we can accept him as our Savior. We can receive the reward of eternal salvation if we accept him, but we must have the right measurements. If I was standing at a fence with about five people and I asked them how tall the fence was from the top to the bottom, most likely I get five different answers. But we wouldn't know for sure until someone took out the ruler. And what I'm trying to get you to see on tonight is that Jesus is our ruler. Going back to our lesson text here, in verse number 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Our measurement can't be of man. If we're going to deal with our spiritual issues, then we need to have some spiritual answers. And to have the right measurement, we must turn to God. God sent his son that we understand that Jesus is the answer. Verse number 18 says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We must understand that we are not talking about brick and mortar when we are speaking of the church. Church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means called out assembly. It is used 114 times in the New Testament. We are talking about a called out assembly that follows Christ. I don't have time to get into these scriptures on tonight, but at your leisure, for those that are taking notes, read Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11 through Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 12 in your own time. Whenever my father, my dad was done with his drawings, he would put his name in the corner of the drawing with a date of completion. If there are any issues, the builders knew where to go. And if it needs to be known when the blueprint was created, the date was shown. I want us to know on this evening that Christ is the only name that is needed. And we need to know that the church and the body was established in A.D. 33 when he died for all men. I want us to see that the blueprint for salvation establishes the foundation. The scripture here says, upon this rock. We must have a good foundation. Down in Florida, when we were building these homes, or when these homes were built, after the measurements were taken, they would put down a concrete slab to build on top of. One that was not easily broken. See, we had a lot of hurricanes that would come through Florida, and you wanted to make sure that your house would hold up. Now, Catholics believe that Peter is the foundation of the church. Called them the bishop and on to being called the pope. They say that the pope speaks with divine authority equal to that of God in Scripture. See, that's not a firm foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9, when Paul was talking to those at Corinth, he says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Verse number 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." If Christ is the foundation, how could Peter be the foundation? That would make Matthew chapter 16 and 18 and 1 Corinthians 3 and 9 a contradiction. You see, when building, after the foundation is laid, there are blocks and bricks that are added to that foundation. The confession that Peter made was added to the foundation. It was not the foundation. The question that I have for you is, where are you placing your block? Is it in the foundation of Christ, or is it somewhere else? You see, I wouldn't want Peter to be my foundation. He did some wonderful things for the body, but he also denied Christ. Christ was perfect. He cut off a man's ear. Christ healed that same man's ear. He was hanging out with the Pharisees, and Paul had to check him, so he was two-faced. See, I don't want that. That's a shaky foundation. All man has sin. Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16 and 23, "Get thee behind me, Satan. If your foundation is built on the commandments of men, it will fail. If your foundation is built on denominational dogma, it will fail. If your foundation is built on speculation instead of revelation, it will fail." Let's stop speculating and allow the scripture to reveal Jesus Christ unto us. As I'm moving close to a close here, I want us also to see that the blueprint for salvation establishes the plan. We must realize that the plan has been established. We need to realize that this is a plan that death can't conquer. The scripture says Hades can't prevail, meaning it can't win. To prevail means to overpower or have mastery over. If we are in Christ, we can shake death off. But we must know the Creator, and we must build on the right foundation. If we are built upon a foundation that can't be destroyed, then we can stand as worthy before God. When we are building, is it in man or is it in Christ? Do you know that most of the denominations followed today did not exist until 600 years after Christ died? Church of Christ was established in 33 AD in Jerusalem by Christ. 606 AD, you had the Roman Catholic Church, which was founded by Boniface III. Then you had the Lutheran Church in Germany by Martin Luther. He didn't like what they were doing over in the Roman, in the Catholic Church, because they were charging people for their sins. You had the Episcopalian Church, 1534, Henry VIII, the Presbyterian Church, 1536 in Switzerland by John Calvin, the Congregational in England by Robert Brown, the Baptist Church in Holland by John Smyth. You have the Methodist Church in England, 1739, John Wesley, Latter-day Saints, 1830, Joseph Smith. You have the Seventh-day Adventists, 1830 A.D., and America by William Miller. And the list goes on and on and on. Christ established his church in 33 A.D. All of these churches I just called out, all of these are facts. All you have to do is go to your local library, and you can see this history in the books. We must understand that man will interject his thoughts and his wishes, but that leads us to a shaky foundation. We must understand that there is no perfect church, but we must strive for perfection. Keep in mind, Jesus had Judas. Peter was flaky and had anger issues. Paul was on his way to destroy the church. All man has sin. Let us work towards perfection. But we must follow that which is perfect, and that can only be found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must follow the plan that has been established. Christ is the Creator. He is the foundation, and in his church, he gives hope for hopelessness. He helps us to defeat and overcome our struggles and our demons. He fills heaven with his glory and earth with his mercy. He lifts us up when we see nothing but down. He fills hell with fury because death can't hold us down. That can only be found in Jesus Christ. And this is our blueprint. The lesson is yours, and you've heard the lesson on this evening. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You've heard the word on this evening. Do you believe that that word is true? Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is." Then there is repentance. Repentance just means we need to change. We can't expect to come into the body of Christ and remain the same person that we were when we walked through the doors. If we don't change, then we perish. Luke 13 and 3 says, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Then we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." We must let others know about Jesus Christ. And then there is baptism. There are those that will tell you that baptism is just an outward sign. But baptism is essential. On the day of Pentecost, those men and brethren asked, what shall I do? They wanted to know, what shall I do to be saved? And Peter said unto them in Acts 2:38, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that solid foundation, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I was talking to the congregation on Sunday and letting them know, if I gave you a set of keys and I threw it to you and I told you I want you to take a car on a spin around a block and you looked at it and it didn't have any wheels on it, you would think I was crazy. But I want us to know how the Holy Spirit works. Some people think that when they go down into that water and they receive the Spirit, that the Spirit's just going to move them around at every place that they need to be. But see, we need to have some knowledge of how to operate the vehicle. The Spirit is the GPS, God's perfect Spirit. And that's what will guide us on the path. But we got to open up our Bibles, and we must study for ourselves. And let's stop listening to what all these, what flesh and blood has to say, and make sure that we are following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The lesson is yours. I will turn it back over to the brothers at this time.